Welcome to episode 24 of the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Roger Kirby, and with me, as always, Mr. Stephen Ripkin.
Good evening, Roger. How are you doing on this bank holiday Monday?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you. It's been a busy one, as tends to be the case when you're off. You end up working harder than when you're actually in, inverted commas, work. But, no, it's been a productive day, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, ended up going clothes shopping, of all things. Getting dressed by the better half, it seems now that I'm in middle age. Can't make decisions for myself, so being clothed and dressed by the other half, which is a
tweed jacket.
Almost, it was. There was a lot of check shirts on the shopping list today for some reason.
You've become one of them.
Yeah, it's trying to be a cool hipster coffee guy, I think, which seems to be in at the moment. Beard, check shirt, drinking coffee. It's the way to go. So yeah, a bit of shopping today. Enjoying the bank holiday Monday, which is obviously a unusual term for our American and foreign listeners out there, but just a public holiday in most places.
Yeah, for want of a better word.
So, draft recap.
Yes, we promised and we deliver.
Well, for some reason this year, although really excited about the draft, the time zone was beating me, and although I watched the majority of the first round live, day two struggled to catch any of it live. So
see, I was the other way because I was in work on the Friday. Day one was a nightmare, but stayed up and watched the whole of the second round on day two. And then bits and pieces of day three.
Yeah.
From what I saw, you know, it seemed to be pretty good in terms of Chicago and the diverse kind of way in which they delivered it this year. And the general consensus seems to be that they probably won't be back in Radio City for a while. Not necessarily back in Chicago, but definitely look to move it around.
Yeah, it looked like a great event, and they were able to deliver a lot more of a fan experience, it seems, by having it in a big available open public space and not just in the tight streets in New York. So obviously a little bit disappointing in some aspects that a lot of the top names were staying home with family. Some say that was because Chicago wasn't really a draw for them, but I think it's more just they wanted to be with everyone who's important to them.
I think it's each to their own. I don't think you can criticize people for wanting to stay home, criticize people for going. You know, everyone's got their own agenda and own way that they want to do it. So
yeah, it's not going to change your draft stock, I'm sure, and you're not exactly getting paid for it, so why not stay home and enjoy your crab legs? So we should we start there with the first pick overall?
We're going to do 90 seconds on each team.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and cover every team. We're not, you know, we don't profess to be kind of draft nicks, but I think we have a good enough, you know, understanding of what the team's needs were and some of the, you know, the players that we've seen maybe on college or we've seen through tape or we've heard others kind of talk about, and I think we've formulated our own opinions. So, you know, it's our take on it, and, you know, it's right, wrong, and, you know, I think time will tell with the season.
Yeah, so let's hit 90 seconds on the clock, and obviously, Tampa Bay picked first overall and went as predicted with Jameis.
Yeah, it was just the most sensible, you know, pick for me. I mean, I know that you argue the case, that Mariota was potentially the safer pick. I will argue that Winston was, in the sense of that, you know, pro ready and, you deal with some of those off-field issues and concerns that come with it. The civil suit is obviously the big one. But I like the second pick. I thought, you know, you have to protect him, and I like the fact that they came back into the second round again and took a center, although
Division III center from Hobart.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be almost a combined sort of I don't know what the word is, phenom, in the sense of, you know, he's tested well at the combine and probably worked well with the coaches and stuff, but.
Yeah, if you've seen any of the tape on Marpet, it's basically a man playing against boys in that Division III football. So it's obviously hard to really gauge. It's like some of these guys trying to I saw some tape of a Polish tackle playing on YouTube, and he was just destroying people because he's an absolute monster. And it's whether you can make that step and that change, and it's a bit of a project there.
Yeah. But, I mean, I like the fact that they've tried to, you know, you draft a franchise quarterback, and then, you know, you look to protect him because that O-line is, you know, was one of the big, massive issues last year. So I think that was positive, but whether it was a reach taken, you know, Ali Marpet there, again, it's one of those, time will tell.
Well, that just about wraps up the Tampa Bay Bucks. That was, I let it overrun there a bit. That was 100 seconds, but technology is once again beating me, and I don't actually have a 90-second buzzer. I can choose a minute or 2 minutes, so this was a little ill-prepared, but I'll let us know when the 90-second horn hits.
Yes, and if you feel free to make a random yelping noise at any given moment, and we'll run with it.
So, yeah, Bucks did the O-line.
Now we've got an option here. Are we sticking in division? I think we should stick in division, like we said.
Yeah, I like that way to go. It'll keep a bit more of a system to it all, so we don't get too lost. You know, some teams didn't even have like a first round pick if you go by the first round. So, let's go with the Saints. Yeah, because they had obviously a couple of interesting picks. They went tackle with Andres Pete, first round from Stanford, a big guy, and some say a little bit raw and not the best one available, but I quite liked what I saw of him in college. And then their other big issue they really went with is the talk all about obviously Grayson, QB, being selected in round three, and a team maybe looking to the future.
Yeah, and I think it's important that you don't lose sight of the fact that Jimmy Graham is actually a first round pick in this draft as well. So they've essentially taken Jimmy Graham, Pete, and Stephon Anthony in the first round. The Pete one is an interesting one for me. You know, if they've stuck to their board, fair enough. But I potentially would have liked to have seen them, you know, go back-to-back defense, I think, especially with the fact that they, you know, have Drew Brees there and understand the need to. But as you said, he comes across as a little bit raw. But again,
I mean, they went double linebacker with their 31st and 44th pick, so obviously trying to fill a linebacker need there. So it's that's about 90 seconds on the clock, by the way. So we'll have to whiz through these quick. But I think it's obviously very hard with all these teams to really, like, we talk about draft grades right now and what team gets A's, B's and C's. But ultimately, you could probably, if you were in the Saints camp, you would say you got an A. If you're in the Bucks camp, you got an A. You probably had a system and a philosophy you went by, and you probably ended up getting what you wanted. Just to the outside, you're not really sure what some teams are trying to achieve.
When I talk about Graham, Jimmy Graham, I'm obviously talking about losing Jimmy Graham for those picks. I don't mean actually acquiring him. So for them, it is one of those is that, you know, as I say, taking Pete and Anthony, but the loss of Graham. Not sure.
So moving over to Georgia and the Atlanta Falcons. Managed to get Vic Beasley, which was a guy who probably slid a little bit to end up going 8, according to a lot of mock drafts. So that was a good pickup for them at linebacker and a much needed pass rusher there.
Yeah, and I like the second pick in Jalen Collins as well. You know, and picking up Tevin Coleman. I think their first three picks, they'll be over the moon with that.
Yeah, they really did with their first few picks hit their kind of needs. I think the glaring needs, according to some people, are still probably maybe tight end. Hitting a couple of defensive players really look to push the Falcons forward this year. And I'd probably be quite ecstatic to have Beasley at that position.
Yeah, and I think Grady Jarrett, some good things were talked about him, to pick him up in round 5. I think they'll be happy with. And I'd be interested to see how Justin Hardy develops, especially with the loss of Harry Douglas. And also, you know, how long can Roddy White continue to, you know, keep going at the level that he's played at?
And also, when you've got a offensive line that always needs help, it's be always keen to see our seventh round pick, a 6'6", 320 pounder, Jake Rogers, how he might develop a bit of a weight room freak, but see how he goes in the long term. So, not a bad haul there for the Falcons. So we've got the Panthers left to go in the NFC South. Your thoughts on the Panthers?
Yeah, I mean, Shaq Thompson makes sense in terms of Davis can't keep going forever. And, you know, he seems to be, you know, he is a freak in the sense of Davis because of the fact that he came back from the three, you know, ACL injuries and still playing to the high level he is. But I think that was a sensible pick. I like the Devin Funchess pick because, you know, the talk is obviously about the catch radius and Cam just seems to sling everything sidearm and bullet it.
Yeah, that big body receiver that Benjamin showed last year is ideal for Cam. And there's even talk that Funchess gets to play. He can even potentially play as a tight end more going forward.
Yeah, they could potentially go two tight end set with Olsen in there. You know, Williams at guard. I mean, I still have concerns about the O-line when you consider that they brought in Jonathan Martin and Michael Orr, who have, you know, really flattered to deceive and underwhelmed significantly. Despite the fact that they clearly have talent, you know, and more, you know, or was a, you know, a great productive player at Baltimore, but, you know, Tennessee paid him a lot of money and they let him go. So it'll be interesting to see what they get out of those two.
Yeah, it's obviously a tough draft when you've only got the five picks to make use of as well. So you're really hoping to get something from the people you drafted out of those five. So Williams there, the guard, is apparently a good in the run game, but not necessarily pass protection. So we'll see where that one goes. But
yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the offense evolves and whether they continue to sprinkle in more of the Auburn offense that Cam was running in college.
Yeah. So that wraps up the NFC South. What direction do you want to go next?
AFC South makes sense. Oh, Tennessee, second pick.
Clever lateral thinking. Like it.
Yes.
Second pick, Mariota, and I think the most exciting pick as well, Doriel Green Beckham going with him is kind of the contrast in player personalities, red flags and squeaky clean in Mariota versus red flags in Beckham. But if you're wanting to try and score some points and give the guy a chance, he's a great catcher and catch radius again with him. To help Mariota out.
Yeah, and it's one of those. I was sort of having a, I don't know what, my mind was drifting. I don't know if, I think it was, I don't know, bike ride or something. I was on a run. My mind was drifting about why I didn't like the Mariota to the Tennessee Titans in the first place. And I don't think it was ever a knock on Mariota. No. I think the issue that I still have with the pick is the same issue I had before. I don't trust Wisenhunt with him. You know, I think if Mariota would have gone to a more creative off, you know, offensive mind, I'd be waxing lyrical about it. Yeah. But I think it's going to be a real test because you look at Wisenhunt's always had success with the older sort of veteran kind of quarterbacks. You know, think of the quarterbacks he went through. Once Warner left, the Arizona Cardinals. He just munched through those guys. So.
It does seem odd in that aspect, but at the same time, although you talk about the fact Mariota is obviously used to that Oregon spread, fast tempoed stuff, he still looks like the guy to me that actually has the ability to be able to adapt and learn and at least give it a go and be able to fit other people's systems. But as you say, being able to mesh in what a college player brings to what a coordinator adds.
Yeah, I mean,
is
I think
key,
I think with Winston, you're going to have to sprinkle some of the stuff that Winston does well in Tampa. But it's less about doubting what Mariota is capable of, and more doubting what Wisenhunt's going to try and do with him. But don't get me wrong, it's exciting to see what him and Doriel Green Beckham, and I like that the offensive guard. Yeah. You know, again, bolster that line any way you can.
And I love a fullback being selected as well in round
four.
Well,
it signifies that they're going to try and run the ball.
Yeah.
And they're going to, we're taking David Cobb as well. It's some insurance because Bishop Sankey didn't seem to really look the part, despite the fact he was the consensus number one RB in last year's draft.
Yeah, so I think that just about wraps up the Titans there. We went a few seconds over, yes. But...
Sorry, I was ranting.
Have we moved to pick three seamlessly down the draft order to Dante Fowler? Obviously, with the two quarterbacks going, was the next best player. Well, probably the best player at many accounts in the entire draft. So, really good pickup there. And Yeldon, again, the Jags are trying to find a running back, and they keep trying almost, it seems, every year with somebody new. But
I felt that I'd have liked to have seen them maybe wait around on a running back. I think there was running backs to be had in the third round.
When you're picking, what was that, 36th pick overall, there are still other good positions available. So yes, there's more depth there, but
I know why they did it, but I think they could have easily, when you consider that the amount of picks that they've ended up with, they've had,
especially then
5, 6, 2, and 7.
They really aren't. They weren't necessarily the worst there with Denard Robinson and Storm Johnson, and it's whether this with Yeldon is really an upgrade worth the second round value.
When you consider, for example, I know the Cardinals took David Johnson in pick 86 in round 3. I just think there was better value to be had at the top of round 2, as you said.
And I just wondering at round 6 whether Gus Bradley thought he was getting a reincarnation of another Michael Bennett to come with him, tackle with the obviously same name as the Seahawks player. So, but he's an exciting piece, it seems, with good quickness up front there. But overall, they basically almost took one of every position to try and fill what it seems every year a lot of needs.
I still think they need a big year. I still think they need to be coming out 500, or I do believe that they're going to be on the hot seat.
Yes. So moving on, let's take a trip up to Indianapolis. And the Colts took receiver Dorsett, which was a bit of a head scratcher to many.
Yeah, didn't like it. They got cute for me.
It's giving another weapon, whether that was really their best player on their board and they just went with that, or it's hard to really see that as the case at that time to take him. But
I find it tough when in a league that's over the last couple of years, when you think of the teams that have won the Super Bowl, it's been predicated on, yes, offensive talent. Mm. But, the reason the Patriots ended up winning last year is because they improved the defensive side of the ball.
Defense and run, and got a big D end, 6'6" guy from Stanford, and Henry Anderson. So he's looking like a starter all day long to Mayock. So and they went cornerback with round 3. So they addressed defense in the next 4 picks after the receiver, but you're not really obviously going to get a real splash defensive player there in that without going there in the first round. So.
Yeah, it's just an odd one when you consider that the pickups that they've made. They brought in Andre Johnson and obviously Frank Gore and they're kind of in win now mode, and they brought in Juwan Carter as well. T.Y. Hilton is looking like a better and better player every year. They've got the two tight end set with Fleener and Dwayne Allen, and you're thinking, well, really?
You don't really need much else. It's like, do you want to score 60 points a game rather than just 40?
The problem is that it's fine. You can go in with, well, we'll outscore them, but the problem is invariably the teams that go in with that mentality end up coming unstuck come January.
Well, we've got to move on quickly. And down in Houston, cornerback went first round, Kevin Johnson out of Wake Forest. Went for linebacker in round 2, McKinney. So a couple of defensive players there, which was that really the need. I guess the defense is good. It's great up front. It needed a bit of help in the back end, so cornerback makes sense.
Yeah, especially with I think they're looking to shop. I know they ended up taking cornerback, but I know they're looking to if I can get my words out, shop the safety DJ Swearinger.
Yeah. So it's obviously a potential replacement for Joseph if his contract doesn't, they don't pick him up next year. And I think that linebacker help is obviously with Cushing's injury history. It's quite good to have.
Him and Sean Lee, two exceptionally talented linebackers, but seemingly spending more time on a treatment table than on the field.
I do like the strong pick. I like the fact, yeah. These guys always like to come out with a chip and the things that they say after the draft. He's going to play with number 11, apparently. He's come out because of, to remind him of the 10 receivers that went before him. So interesting mental number picking there from Strong, but obviously got a point to prove and wants to work his way back up from being the 11th receiver taken.
Indeed.
So that's the South done.
Raiders next.
Raiders jumping over to the West. Made sense, Cooper.
I like it and I don't like it. I still think I'd have liked them to have taken another pass rush.
Yeah. I think it's a safe, good pick. And you like the fact you think Cooper's going to be pretty ready straight away. But yeah, what are the strengths of the team? What can you try and really... It's obviously a great help to give your second-year quarterback. And I like the tight end ad as well in Wolford in round 3. And he's a big, strong guy. And going guard as well in round 4. They keep trying to address the offense when you don't really want to get into a shootout in the West, it seems. You should be
I think the other way. I just think someone to put opposite Khalil Mack would have been an absolute, you know, just go hunt down the quarterback for the next 10 years. But I can understand the Amari Cooper and you wanting to surround, you know, what you think is a franchise quarterback with Derek Carr, you know, in there. So solid if unspectacular for me. I think the Edwards Jr. pick is from... You know, what we've read and what we've heard is that when his head's in it, great. And when it's not, he can bloom. So boom or bust, unfortunately. You do need to be making sure you hit on those first two picks. But to be fair to McKenzie, you know, he had a great draft last year. So
And they had 10 picks in the end this year. So some of them have got to come good by just the numbers game, surely. But
well, that's what they say, don't they? You've got to play the lottery.
And on the opposite side of that spectrum were the Chargers of San Diego. Ended up with just 5 picks after obviously letting go of a pick to move up 2 places, worried that the Texans were going to take Gordon.
Did you like that?
I liked being able to get Gordon. Was it worth... I didn't think that they needed to move up to get him. I mean, there was a talk all along that they might have liked to get Gurley, but obviously, he went off the board earlier. When I look at the team overall, was that a real need? It probably is, because it doesn't look like Oliver, although a bit of a... It was a shot out of a cannon last year and an exciting player. Is he going to be a long-term aspect and running back? If that's what you wanted to go for, to get one of the top two in the draft, I think, was the right way to go for them.
Yeah, I was surprised that they didn't add a wide receiver, and even if it was a late flyer in there, just on the basis that you know, Allen struggled a little bit, and Eddie Royal has obviously gone over to the Bears.
I mean, Stevie Johnson coming in, but it's when people talk about, oh, that's a good pick for Gordon because it helps out Rivers. Well, yeah, because he'll give the ball off to him, but then you look at the rest of the draft, no other O-line and no other receivers.
No, and he took an absolute... I know they had a lot of injuries on the O-line last year, but he took a pacing at times, Rivers.
So, a little disappointing in that aspect, and obviously losing out on picks. You didn't have much opportunity there, but Perryman looks like a nice enough pick there at linebacker in round 2, but all in all, a little underwhelming there. And if you don't sort out the Rivers thing, it's going to potentially become a bit of a mess.
Yeah, it's one of those, as if you take him off the roster, they are potentially a 3 or 4 win team, you could argue.
The Denver Broncos, though.
Denver Broncos, you've screwed me
there. Oh, we'll go.
No, go Broncos, it's fine.
Apologies, but...
it's okay.
Probably the most interesting move there on day one was to move up for Shane Ray. Obviously, character type red flags there, which you wouldn't have expected the Broncos really be the team to try and go down that route.
I like it. I like the pick.
Yeah.
I don't like so much the fact that they've had to be as aggressive as they have to go get him. If that makes sense. Yeah.
He potentially was sliding because of red flags. So
yeah,
but you obviously suddenly you got your numbers up, your clock's ticking, and you think
and to lose. And I know that they're saying that Manny Ramirez wasn't a fit for the zone blocking scheme that Kubiak's going to run, but he was a nice chess piece that you could move all across the line. And that was an interesting one. I think that was a nice pickup for the Lions, actually.
Yeah, and then they've obviously gone with a couple of O-line picks in round 2 and 4, centering Garcia and big tackle in Sam Braylio. Braylio? Braylio.
Yeah, Sam Braylio, yeah.
And a big 6'6", 311-pound guy, so strong, big guy. Mayock says he's a finesse guy, though, in the passing game. So be interesting to see how they try and fit in this O-line system and obviously a tight end catcher.
Yeah, and they're talking about he's a good pass protector. I mean, the main thing is regardless of what system that they're going to run, is you've got to keep that pocket clean for Manning. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, so basically... that draft, if you're looking at all these grades, comes down to whether that tight end, the O-line, and Shane Ray come good. That's the funny thing about these grades. You can say now, oh, that was a B+, but really, do we know anything at this point?
It doesn't mean anything, does it? And you just and the thing is that with the draft, is there's no guarantees, because you know, look at, for example, last year with the cornerbacks and the lad who went to Cleveland, who was the consensus top cornerback in the draft, and already there's talk of him flaming out. So
you even look at segments like on the Move the Sticks podcast with DJ having hits and misses. There's a lot of misses out there. Yeah. So so over to Kansas City. 9 picks overall they had in this year's draft. Went cornerback round 1. Don't know really what else to say about this draft. They seem to get one of every position.
It's a typical draft that you'd expect to see from, mine's gone blank. I remember I'm having a nightmare. Andy Reid, sort of, they've tried to fortify with the second round there. The line, which we've acknowledged is a problem. Connolly is supposed to be a smart, intelligent footballer, which, and they need help at wide receiver. Yeah. I think they didn't need a speed guy with, necessarily with Macklin coming in, but he seems to fit that mold. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think the big thing is can, in another year in the offense, the tight end.
O'Shaughnessy.
Pardon?
Shaughnessy. Being drafted tight end.
Not so much Shaughnessy, but the line that they've already got there, and his name is
Kelsey.
Kelsey. Yeah.
Mini Gronk.
Yeah. And he's coming. You got to remember, he's coming back from having the microfracture surgery on his knee. So another year removed from that. Could be good things, and they've still got Jamaal Charles. So.
Well, if you go by the NFL.com positions of need. They drafted all 5 of their required positions, so you go by that, job done. So nothing spectacular, but there we go. Which direction next, sir?
Stay in the AFC.
Stay in the AFC. Are we going up north?
Yeah.
Where should we start? Let's start with the Steelers. Bud Dupree. Yeah.
He was someone that seemed to just grow. His chance of being drafted in the first seemed to just grow and grow. And there was a lot of buzz around him, and he fills a massive need for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, it's a good fit there, and obviously went cornerbacks in round 2 and 4. Massive need there in that secondary with Tyler going.
You think about the, and I know they won the shootout with the Indianapolis Colts last year, but there was times when they were just getting fried left, right, and centre.
And gonna be interesting to see how they get Coates involved, another real speed guy. So that's a number of receivers they've got involved that have some serious pace on them as well. So
yeah, and they drafted a tight end there in the fifth, and if he can take a few reps off the aging bones of Heath, then potentially that's a nice pickup.
Yeah, so hit a couple of needs, did the job, short and sharp. Let's move on over to Baltimore. And the Ravens.
Hashtag in Aussie winter.
Well, if you say that, they got two offensive weapons, rounds 1 and 2, Perryman. This was the thing about this draft. You could get great receivers all down that first round, and they got a good one there at 26. So it's going to be a nice fit there to stretch the field and go after a few Flacco deep balls.
Yeah, and Williams, is a pitter replacement, and I like the defensive tackle pick up there, especially with them losing Halari Nara.
Yeah, and another big lad in Zadarius Smith. So a couple of big bruises there on the front line of that defense to try and fill a big hole. And a few other pickups down the way in. Another running back in Allen, a downhill runner who could slot in and share some of the reps. So a decent couple of picks in their first 3-4 rounds. And in Aussie we trust, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, he's always getting a bit of a pass because of what he's done in the past. But it looks like they've got good value and managed to mesh, value and needs, as opposed to say what the Colts did, which was just picking off the best on the board. I do honestly believe that yes, you try and stick to your board as much as possible, but I do believe that you have to mesh it in some way, shape or form,
and
which I'm going to criticize somebody heavily for later on.
If we move up to the Bengals, I think to sum this up, really, it was a very interesting point I just saw tweeted out by Ross Tucker today about the fact nobody gives the Bengals any credit that they basically were drafting replacements for aging guys, but they had no real glaring needs, it seems, and it just shows the strength and depth of their roster.
Which again, brings us all the way back round to the quarterback. But obviously, there was no way they were going to address that in this draft, but it's all the pressure is on him because they have all of the parts in place.
Yeah, they were safe picks again. Two big tackles, rounds 1 and 2. Abui and Fisher, the tight end. Another option there in the middle.
We don't know what Eifert's... I mentioned on a podcast that they could do with a dynamic tight end, and that was mainly off the back of we do not know what Eifert's going to come back like after that horrific dislocated elbow injury last year.
So if we were to use the word safe as a grade for the Bengals, I'm sure that would fit nicely.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what it is. But you can afford to make those nice, steady, safe. I think if you've got a nice roster, you don't want to start taking boom or bust guys necessarily. Yeah. I mean, the argument is if you've got a safe roster, you take the boom or bust guys to get you over the edge. But I think that they're still away from that, needing that little spark. I think it's just a case of keep building, strength and depth, strength and numbers, and ultimately, it's going to be Dalton, which either takes them forward or carries them back. But you've got to think that they're primed to potentially win a playoff game soon.
It's going to happen. If you use the word safe, you also talk that about the Browns' picks this year. Nothing too fancy from them. Danny Shelton's a great piece there in the front end. A little bit of a reach to some at pick 12, but the other obviously glaring issue is we were all talking about they needed more pass catchers, and they ended up taking a receiver in the fourth round, Vince Mail, but there were some real top guys out there that, with the amount of picks that they had, a couple in round three as well,
yeah,
they could have
done
more there. But
I wasn't sure the Duke Johnson pick at three, when I thought West and Crowell looked pretty solid last year, and I think that that would have been, for me, where you would have picked up a wide receiver on the board. And potentially flipped sort of the pick three, the round three pick and the round sort of four pick, you know, and maybe gone sort of wide receiver there and running back later. But it was a nice, sensible, solid draft, and they're definitely trying to, you know, become a bully within a division that's full of other bullies.
Yeah, not much more to write home about there, and did a fairly decent job apart from that receiver option, as we've said. So, got one. We're going to round off the AFC, finish that one off,
yeah,
and go over to the East. And who picked first there in the East? Let's think. Where should we go? You want to start with the Dolphins? If Ryan Tannehill has got anything about him, he's got everything in place, it seems, to be able to achieve. Adding Devontae Parker, another receiver there at pick 14, so no excuses really, it seems, with this offense, the way they're going with their picks and what they did in free agency. So from that aspect, it's good and exciting to see how Jay Ajayi can come back from his injury, and as a fifth round running back pickup is a good.
Oh, it's a really long-term nice value, because there was a lot of positive things that was said about him. I really quite actually like their draft on paper, and I think they've had a really, really good off season. You know, they've shipped out bad eggs and they've made a few nice moves.
I mean, to talk about as well, if you put Phillips, that nose tackle, in there in the centre with Sue alongside him, that's going to become quite a huge front there as well. So all looking quite nice there for the Dolphins. They've done a good job this off-season.
Buffalo?
Let's move up north then. The Bills obviously didn't have a first-round pick, thanks to taking it up with Watkins last year. But it's obviously tough to assess six picks that are all quite low down with a couple of six-rounders. So they're really going to have to, if you want to see a success from this draft, you're going to expect success from your cornerback Darby taken in round two. Which, you look at what they've done in that roster, it's really good and stacked across the defense, and you feel like you maybe needed a bit more O-line help, and they went for it in round three.
Yeah, I would like to just see a bit more beef up front, especially if you are going to, you know, try and run that power running scheme that Greg Roman is going to want to run. And Shady's not exactly one for blistering through, you know, holes that aren't there. So it's going to be an interesting feature, because the last thing you want to do is you don't want to put the ball into Castle or EJ Manuel's hand, you know, 40 odd times a game.
To fit that scheme perfectly, they've managed to go with Carlos Williams in round five, running back out of Florida State, which they talk about him being a power downhill runner. So that's a good fit there to pound out a few of the hard yards, it looks. So it's not the most inspiring of drafts compared to what they've done throughout the off-season. This is almost not as dramatic, so to speak. So we move over to the Jets, who managed to pick up Williams with pick six.
That's a nice, you know, that they were. And it's funny, isn't it? You know, you criticise other teams, and I'm as guilty as the next man. I've criticised teams for getting too cute, you know, with them, you know, not picking up, you know, picking up players in an area of strength. But I think at that position there, you know, the consensus number one prospect in the draft, I think it was a no-brainer as much as, you know, it was fortifying something that didn't necessarily need fortifying.
Yeah, I mean, he was Mayock's number one player, regardless of position. And I think that all it all came down to the fact of just reading about how the Red, it all was based on the fact the Redskins passed on him, essentially, to take the guard tackling Brandon Scherff.
Sheriff. I don't know.
Whatever. The big guy. They went O-line side, so rather than taking Williams, he fell. So you take him. I like then that they went receiver round two. Not a guy I'd heard much about, but he's a speedy guy.
Yeah, he's different from what they've got, which I think was important. You know, they've got two, you know, one real top-notch possession receiver, and then obviously Decker behind Marshall as a sort of one A option. It always fits better in that role. So to get a speed guy in as well, and Jason Amaro looked solid as a tight end. So
and I like picking up Petty down there in round four, because if Smith doesn't work out, yeah, probably Petty's not going to be able to one to be starting this year, but he's somebody to be pushing, probably trying to almost just push people to keep.
He's pushing without pushing.
Yeah.
And I think it's also something that if they happen to stumble upon, you know, there's supposed to be three top guys potentially next year that could be coming out. And if they have they're not tied to Petty in any way, shape or form by drafting him in the top two, like they were with Smith. So, yeah, like what the Jets are doing, and they seem to be doing it the right way at the moment, aren't they?
Speaking of doing it the right way, the Super Bowl champs.
Wow. They just do their own thing.
11 picks overall. And I do like Brown as a fit there, obviously, with Will Fork leaving. He's a good big body to stick in the middle there, and push that pocket. So he fills a need there. And they went a lot of defense in the first four picks, because there wasn't really much you could say about the offense that they really wanted to address.
Yeah, I thought they might look for to pick up a guard a little bit earlier than they did in round four with pick 1-1. And Trey
big,
Jackson.
He's a big body in there, so he's a good run block specialist they talk about. So, then he went back to back with a centre as well in round four. So they did address it, but obviously they went to the defensive side first.
And I'm sure that they'll pick up somebody in week seven that was cut off a roster and end up plugging him in and winning the Super Bowl. So you go.
They've got a number of picks, so watch this space for 3 years' time when, Xavier Dixon becomes the next cornerstone and rock of that defense or something. So that rounds out the AFC for us. We need to head back over and finish off the NFC.
We do.
If we're in the East, we might as well stay in the East.
Yes.
So from New England, we shall move to... Should we go to the Giants? They're the closest team there. I think Flowers was obviously filling a need and hitting that O-line.
I thought that the Sharif would drop to them.
Yeah.
And obviously he didn't. But I like the fact that they were uber aggressive in making sure that they took a position of need and the best safety in the draft, and Landon Collins there, I think, was a great pickup.
To get the best safety at the top of round two is obviously a good piece of work, and I'm really keen to see how the UCLA lad 00 Odighizuwa comes good for them, because exciting things about him and how he can set the edge and rush the passer. So there was talk about him maybe 6 months ago coming into the latest college season as a bit more of a prospect, but didn't have the greatest last season, it seems.
Yeah, and the talk of his injuries have helped him slide. So I think the Giants have done a good job, and if that offense can move forward, I expect them to be a real powerhouse and force in the NFC.
Yeah, they did a nice job. we move down to Washington, who had that fifth pick overall, and as we said, went for Sharifa. Yeah.
Didn't Sheffrey. Like it. I think if Williams is there, you take him. I just do. I think if he is the consensus number one, and I know that I've said elsewhere, I think that in that instance, it's the exception to the rule. Where he's there and he's fallen to you, then you just take
him. And I don't see how the Redskins could stand there and say, well, we've got that position filled. Really, it's not. You've not got the world's best at that position, and he's got every chance of being one of them game-changing players. So, yeah, it didn't really make sense from that aspect, but the O-line is of a definite need for them, but it felt like need.
I heard something interesting. I think it was on one of the podcasts where they were talking about the new GM coming in and almost a case of that was his guy, and it was a point of, you know, showing to the room and sticking to his convictions. But I think sometimes that shows also, from my point of view on the outside looking in, it shows short-sightedness and your ability to not, you know, run and roll with the hand that you dealt. So, I don't know. And obviously, you know, there's still the whole Robert Griffin thing and trying to, you know, Gruden trying to put Griffin into that offense and not mesh anything that Griffin does. So it'll be an interesting off-season. Interesting off-season of more speculation as those two butt heads. And ultimately, I think they're destined for a tough season and a reboot next year with a new coach and new quarterback. Potentially the GM getting another shot.
Yeah, that could easily be the way it goes. Moving to the nearby relative in the division, the Eagles went for the USC receiver Aguilar, in round one, which all that wild speculation that they'd try and do something crazy and try and get Mariota obviously didn't happen, but this again is another piece to their puzzle on the offense and needing to try and address the cornerback position. They took three throughout the draft, so a bit short on picks, but I guess did what they could with what they had, and I like the receiver there at the top.
Yeah, and as I constantly say, I think it's, I'm not an Eagles fan, but I think for the good of the league, we all want Chip Kelly we all need Chip Kelly to succeed, because if he doesn't, forget innovative thinking and outside the box moving forward, you know, we'll be back to square one.
It just does slightly change the fact that we've heard about Chip wanting big receivers, and this one is the one that kind of goes a little bit against that fit that we talk about with him. So,
but I think they also talked about that Kelly values smart, intelligent football as much as anything.
He was one of the more pro-ready route runners. I went all English on us.
Yes.
It's
a root, darling.
Rounding off the NFC East, we have the Dallas Cowboys. Did Jerry just get really excited by the combine?
I mean, to not draft one running back, I'm sorry. Have a huge issue with that. You know, not even taking a late round flyer.
In McFadden, we trust.
You know, I can the Byron Jones one, yeah, maybe, and even the Randy Gregory one to an extent.
I think if you have said
the fact that he's just sat there and
a pick 60, that you can argue that can be really good, really good value if you know the guy, you've spoke to the guy, you know.
Yeah, I think the problem is that Randy Gregory pick without Greg Hardy in the building looks nice.
Mm.
Randy Gregory is tainted a little bit with the Cowboys because they're going, oh my goodness, you're pairing him with Hardy as a role model.
Yeah.
But for me, the glaring thing is to not have addressed, running back at some stage. I like the fact that they've taken an offensive tackle with pick 91 in the third. I think, you know, you keep building and fortifying that line, but again, who's going to run behind it?
Yeah, and I still struggle for what pass catching options they have I mean, Romo isn't getting any younger, well, as we all are, but the defence obviously needed a bit more help, but doesn't seem much else options with no added running backs or receivers. So, yeah, bit of an odd one. And I still can't work out why Jerry needs so many pencils on his desk during a draft. I think I counted at least five at one point.
He's lying to himself, though. When you're the GM and you're not responsible to anybody, then I guess you can do as you please, but, you know, fair enough.
Hit me with a direction.
Detroit Lions.
We're going north. I think, what do you like about this one?
I mean, I like the fact that, you know, again, you're trying to make sure that you keep Matthew Stafford up. Right there with the Tomlinson pick, the guard. I like the Abdullah running back pick because obviously you've shipped out Reggie Bush to flame out over in San Francisco, which I think was the right thing to do. More for the 49ers for picking him up. And, you know, the
secondary help was needed, a couple
and,
of...
Yeah, it's again, it's a nice mixture of, I think, what they kind of needed.
I think, too, as well, the fact when you look at the fact in round one, they've essentially got a guard and a centre with getting Ramirez as well is a really good value for them. So, yeah, that changes things a bit there on the offensive side. And I think both Joique Bell's had quite a few injuries, although I like him as evolving into a number one. He's been a bit inconsistent with injuries, so more running backs the better always. So
yeah, and I think it's your bell cow three down running backs are, you know, yes, you want them, but they're so hard to come by, is that, you know, it is a, you know, you find the best committee that you can.
And I like I love another fullback in the league from Rutgers, Michael Burton. So he's a good pass catching halfback.
That's how we do things in Rutgers.
good effort. A B minus. Seeing as we're grading everything this time of year.
Yeah. Everything's got to be ranked and in an order.
I'll send the snippet of that to Ross and see how we get on.
Sure, he'll love it.
Where next in the division?
Let's go to Green Bay.
The Green Bay Packers. So, I guess a lot of the talk will be, is this the next Aaron Rodgers in Brett Hundley? Can we sit him for 3 years and he give up? But he might have to sit a bit longer behind Rodgers, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's a good spot for him to be, to develop, and there is no pressure. And if he does develop, you know, maybe he eventually gets a chance elsewhere. But, you know, for me, the interesting one was the picking up of Ty Montgomery in the third, given the array of pass catches that they've got and how good at times Adams looked. You know, that was interesting.
There's a little bit of talk about how he's a good return guy as well, so nice little value there added to him. But you always look at the Packers roster and you think, well, they're quite pretty good across the board. So where you add the secondary, feel they did need help. Still feel like they needed more help up on the defensive front. Apart from Matthews.
Yeah, I think run stuffing for me is...
I mean, Raji's been re-signed again, but he's not really quite what he used to be, it seems. Yeah. So that's probably a bit of a... I mean, you look at the needs here, and they eventually took a D-end in round six, but that's probably the one omission from this draft, from that side of things, from looking at their overall roster, but... yeah, it'd be interesting to see how Montgomery might be used, but looks like that secondary got a little bit of improvement. So we'll move down to the Vikings.
Yep.
As we
Trey Waynes with the first pick.
Yeah, it was obviously a position of need. Some people would say that there was talk from some people that he's going a bit high in the end, but he was also the best corner available.
Yeah, and he wouldn't have been there second time round. So, you know, could they have maybe traded out? Yeah, potentially. But where to, and who's the willing trade part? So if that was the guy they wanted, I got no real problems with them taking him there.
I like I really like the fact, obviously, injury hit at the moment, but Clemens' tackle is going to be good value if he obviously comes good from those injuries. So I really like that pickup down there.
And I mean, for me, the Kendricks one I like because, you know, it's all about getting after that quarterback. I think Barr had an exceptional, you know, rookie year. And I think if you can put another linebacker, you know, to pair with him, they have a linebacking core for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years if they want.
Yeah, they went and did what you wanted the Raiders to do, but
yeah.
A decent enough draft here for the Vikings, filling a few gaps on defense, a couple of tackles and a tight end and receiver down the board. So Zimmer's got a few new toys to play with on that defense, so should be a good team to watch going forward.
And Adrian Peterson to come back, remember.
Or just sit on the sideline throwing his toys out the prayer. So we got
the Bears
to go, the hometown in this draft. No excuses now, Jay, have you, with White paired up?
I mean, he seemed to be the one that was linked to them, and you know, with them shopping Marshall away, he seemed to be the obvious choice. I think Goldman is a nice, you know, piece for the defense of Vic Fangio.
He's a big unit there in the front of that defense. So he looks like a Bears type player from the defensive past. So
I think we've got to bear in mind that the Bears are on a 2 to 3 year rebuilding project. As much as you don't like it, I think, you know, you've got to ride out whatever Jay Cutler gives you this year. And I think potentially it's all about a solid year, a step forward, familiarizing everybody with how they want to run that offense and defense. And potentially it's a new signal caller and shopping Jay when you've not got the guaranteed money against the cap.
Yeah. And I don't know whether they would have, you know, they didn't have many picks to do this, but would it have benefited anything to try and for them to pick up one of these lower quarterbacks in rounds 4 or 5 or something to see if they've got
because they're talking about Bryce Petty and Huntley being 2 or 3 year developments, which is you know, I can understand if you could sit someone for a year and then, you know, plug them in. But also you've got to think of that. Is Cutler really the guy that you want mentoring these people?
Well,
and yeah, when you cash out like that, then
yeah, enough said. So as we're rolling through all these teams, we're gonna have to head out west to round this off.
Last one.
Let's go Cardinals first.
Yep.
Tackle, good fit up front. Another running back into the mix in David Johnson.
I really
That's a nice pick.
Ellington is not a three down back, but I think for them to have some sort of committee type back, and Ellington becomes more the scat back that I think he is, I think the David Johnson pick is nice.
Yeah, talking about him being a lot better pass catcher out of the backfield, so that's always handy on third down as well. Three big D linemen as well, Golden, Gunter, and Riddick. So trying to fill the need there with obviously Dockett moving on, and since Abraham's gone, they talk about needing just a little bit more on that front. So hitting needs. Not really sure what else they could have done. They did what they did. They didn't move around too much, did they?
Yeah, and a lot of it's going to hinge on how fit and healthy is the quarterback, Carson Palmer.
Mm. So,
Rams?
Let's move, back east to St. Louis. Still makes no sense that they're in the West, but anyway, based on my geographical knowledge of the US. thoughts on Gurley?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good, solid pick.
For that division where you talk about having running backs like Lynch and
I think for how they're trying to build that team as a team, you know, which is all about the identity on defense. And as you say, it's then you need someone who's going to chew the clock up and allow your, you know,
they added
your defense to do what it does.
And then they added two O-linemen with rounds 2 and 3, obviously really looking to, one, protect Foles, and two, consolidate that run game and get some big bodies up there up front. So
and you got to remember, Trey Mason looks solid, and they've obviously now shipped Zach Safety out, Stacey out for a 7th round pick.
So nice work there, and obviously with your quarterback situation as it is, taking a guy maybe a little bit early in round 3, but to pick up one of the next level of guys in this draft was safe move, sensible.
A little bit rich for me. I'd have liked to have seen them hold off.
Yeah.
I think potentially when, you know, they could have maybe gone, you know, for a potential wide receiver there, because, you know, well, you don't know what's they're going to manage. Are they going to manage to feature Tavon Austin in that revamped offense? You never quite know. Maybe they won't run him through the tackles this year.
Yeah. So, well, they've got enough tackles for him to try and go through. So maybe that's the key. These two new tackles will help him. If we go to your beloved Niners, one quote I saw just to sum up the draft, they went big. They went for big guys. And to sum it all up, they went the guy with the biggest hands in the draft, with Smelter, wide receiver. So, had a bit of a mold and almost you could see a philosophy to this side of things.
Yeah, I mean, the problem I think for me, and is because I'm a fan and you're slightly more close and invested, is you look at the draft and think, yeah, okay, but because I think you're thinking about, wow, he's got as opposed to just looking purely at the draft and kind of thinking, okay, well, that fills a need, that fills a need, that, yes, I think you've ticked all those boxes, but then when you think of, well, you've lost Willis, you've lost Borland.
Yeah, well, you've lost Gore. A decent linebacker in Harold in round 3, but no
shoes. You've lost a Paddy. It's like, wow.
It just seems, when you look at the overall team, it obviously they're gearing themselves back to keeping the defense strong without, even though you look back to last year and think, well, that was pretty decent, even though you've lost a few guys, but it was the offense that needed some form of reshaping and trying to get back on track, and they didn't really address that side of the ball. So you look for them to be a strong defense despite those losses with the guys they have added, but in Bulky we trust, is that the tweet we take from this one?
I think so. I think he has proven himself time after time that he is a good evaluator of talent. As I say, the one concern that I have with him is that in a sport where the GM and coach need to be lockstep, I'd have liked to seen him find a way to park his ego for the sake of keeping Harbaugh. But, you know, he's in Michigan doing what he needs to do, and, you know, the consensus is he does well, is welcome. But, yeah, I have a concern over the who we've brought in the likes of, you know, Mangini, you know, and then you had coach who...
You're really looking forward to this season with the Niners, aren't you?
Yeah, and then Jeep Christ, I think his name is the OC.
Well, exciting times in the Bay Area. Well, they won't be getting to Super Bowl anyway because it's in their stadium, so it's already a foregone conclusion. So let's look to 2016 for the Niners. So, to the Hawks, obviously no first round pick because they've got a certain Mr. Jimmy Graham with that one. Did probably what they needed to do. Their O-line needed some help, and they got a couple in round 4. Taking a receiver in round 3, probably not the greatest, but they needed some help there. But they almost did what they could with the picks that they had with not having that first rounder. So.
Yeah, and you got to remember, as you say, with them getting Graham and now that they've brought in Lockett, that is essentially two offensive players. And I think with the guards that they've brought in, I think that they feel with Russell Wilson's skill set is that you don't need potentially, you know, top grade guards, and they I feel that they believe that Lynch will run through anything.
Yes, indeed. But not too many names on this draft that are kind of were standout guys coming into it in a way. So,
but it's what they do, isn't it?
Yeah, we never heard of many of their players until they've emerged from the sixth round. So it's all down to Christian Sokoli, a tackle, will come out of the sixth round and be the next bright spark there for the Seahawks. So. Well, we've muddled through what is probably going to be our longest podcast ever with having to hit every team like that. So I hope you're all still with us and not falling asleep. It's another draft in the books. And I guess overall it's what we expected to potentially happen. And obviously the quarterback's going 1 and 2 and not really too many other shocks out there.
No, I don't think there was. I think it was everything we kind of expected. And you know, you come away trying to evaluate most of these drafts. I think you will feel that, as you said earlier on, most of these teams are going to feel that they've ticked all the boxes that they went in to do. From the outside looking in, some drafts look better than others. You know, I like, you know, and the problem is you know, the Rams are, for example, a classic example where I like it on the surface, but then I sit back and think, I don't know, he's injured, and you know, there's Foles, and there is no right or wrong. I guess it's going to be a case of you're going to know midway through the season whether these things have been successful, and you've got to remember these things are meshed in with what they've done in free agency, and you know, the potentially new coaches that have been brought in, and the rest of it. I think as a 49ers fan, I'm disappointed because of what we've lost. I think it's a relatively solid draft, but it's not going to replace those players and obviously the brain trust that you've lost with the coaching. I mean, I don't know what you think from a Chargers fan perspective, you know, more from a passionate, less sort of a critical, what were you a bit more invested in it?
It's, with the Chargers, I see that... You're just not quite sure what's happening with the future, really, and it seems like that's the way it's... Gordon is a good pickup, and it's a bit, though, let's put it all on him, and I'm not really sure what's going on with the River situation, so it wasn't the best. If you're really trying to do everything, you want to keep Rivers, but it doesn't seem that that's the message they're putting out there, so... always hard to judge drafts at this stage. See where they go coming into, even after the training camp and into the start of the season, when rosters get cut down, some of these guys won't make it, or see what happens with the 53. So always difficult to say at this stage. I mean, you get people coming out like, I've just read Charles Haley saying Gregory was a steal. You also wonder who's going to get what could potentially be the bargain of this draft in Lael Collins, if it's all cleared and there's nothing untoward there with that tragic situation. Somebody's going to get a lineman for a real bargain.
Yeah.
So we shall see. We'll obviously look to keep this podcast going over the off season as OTAs will start, and a few more roster changes will probably take place. So.
Yeah, things will start really heating up and developing once the OTAs start. And once we start, I think, once we're kind of through June and into July, I always feel that that's when you start sort of one eye on the you know, the Hall of Fame game. And then, yes, you know, they are a bit mindless, but it's football, even though they are friendlies.
Can't wait for that Hall of Fame game. So I guess that wraps up our draft recap. You can obviously follow us all on Twitter, both of us. I'm at Stephen Redkin.
And I am at Roger M. Kirby.
And this is the at pipe underscore slippers signing off for episode 24.
Sipping a tea.